If you've never seen an improv show, well, tomorrow night might be the perfect time to find out what you've been missing. Prairie Players is hosting an improv showcase from 7:30, starting at 7:30, 160 South Cemetery Street here in Galesburg, and admission is just $5 at the door. Well, the woman behind it all, Jill Bradford, a Galesburg native, who spent 20 years as a professional improviser, director, and producer in Denver before coming home back in 2018. She's been teaching and performing improv ever since, and she joins us this morning. So, of course, Jill, welcome.
Thank you. It's going all right, Tyler. Thanks.
So improv.
Improv. Tomorrow. Jazz hands.
Has Prairie Players ever done anything like this before?
This will be our fifth showcase.
Oh, okay.
So let's do the math. 2024, summer of 2024 was when we did our first session of classes.
Okay.
And so that typically is 8 weeks of classes, and then they do a showcase the following week. So some of my students have been with me that whole time, and then some have just started.
And is it, when you say students, is it school-age students or adult students?
This is actually adults. I do require that people are over the age of 18 to do the adult class simply because even though I encourage people to play from the top of their intelligence, everyone sort of thinks that
that's poop a very good fart, way of putting it.
Yeah, poop and fart jokes are funny, but they also have their time and their place. So because I don't really control that because I'm a teacher in the public school system, I just like to keep it adults separately. I have done lots of children classes as well. But this round, our youngest is 23 this time, and I think our oldest is 73.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a nice mix.
Well, for somebody who may not be familiar what improv is, can you kind of describe someone what the idea behind improv and how a show works?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, most people automatically think that we are stand-up comedians. That is not true. While a lot of what we do is based in humor, it's mostly based in truth and just connecting with other humans. On that emotional level. You can also think about Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right.
That show, that's short form improv, which is mostly game style play. And this is where I'll get really nerdy and talk about improv. UCB, which stands for Upright Citizens Brigade, is a company out of New York City that was founded by Amy Poehler. Some of you may know her.
Right.
So that's what short form Whose Line Is It is kind of like that. And then that leads into long form, which is more like what they do on SNL.
Yeah.
But SNL is technically sketch because those ideas have been done at a writer's table and then rehearsed and then sort of finessed. And so we do scenes like that that are made up on the spot, typically based off of suggestions that come from the audience.
Right. And so, for instance, you know, tomorrow night, you know, is it kind of maybe somebody up on stage sets the scene a little bit and then they get suggestions, or is it completely audience-driven 100%?
Opposite. So, like, the longer scenes that we will do tomorrow, we're doing a form that's called the sleepover. We will ask the audience for the best piece of advice they've ever heard.
Oh, okay.
Other questions we might ask are, like, what's a smell that you don't like? Or what's your relationship? One word to describe your relationship with your dad. Like,
yeah.
Or it can be silly or just super simple, like, give me a word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is there what's the challenge in that?
The challenge is that is being inspired by the suggestion, but also playing from a place that you know that is familiar, because otherwise it wouldn't be authentic.
Right.
Hopefully that makes sense. I always tell my students to like pretend they have something in their pocket. Like, if you were this person, what do you have in your pocket? Because that informs a lot about what you are like.
Uh-huh.
And I also then tell people to enter a scene in the middle. Like, nobody wants to see the introduction. Like, it's not really that exciting. Like, Jay and I just met in the lobby. Hi, Jay Bradford. Yeah. Hi, Jay Bradford. Shaking hands. Nobody really wants to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
So start the scene 15 minutes into the action. Or make sure you've known this person longer than 5 minutes. Because otherwise, that's just a transactional scene. Like, I go into a gas station. Here's my $5. Can you put that on pump three? It needs to get a little meatier. Because that's also where you find the funny. That's another thing that is a big misconception is that we come in loaded with the jokes, and that is a surefire way to fail, because then you're trying too hard and you're thinking about the next thing, when in reality you should be responding in the moment.
Yeah.
And really listening to the other person. So if you come in with an idea and you don't listen to what the other person offers you, then you're not actually connected or having a conversation.
Yeah.
Which actually does happen in real life all the time. However, that's what we should be doing, is listening and then responding, because it's in that vulnerability that you find the magic, like you find the funny.
Yeah. How long is a scene? Is there a time limit?
Nope. Typically, like with a monologue, I say 30 seconds to 45 seconds, and then typically a good scene is going to be cut off after like a minute and a half.
Okay.
But then you put together multiple scenes that connect in some way, and that can go up to about 20 minutes. Okay. I have been in groups before where we've done 40-minute shows because the ultimate traditional improv form is called the Herald, and that is super heady and brainy, and that lasts about 40 minutes because there are specific steps that you have to do to get through that form.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, yeah. Because, I mean, you'd think there would be maybe like a rule of thumb. Like if you know, if the scene is going to be longer than 120 seconds or whatever, you know that yep. it's going to, you know, just
nope.
take a nosedive right after that. You know, are there other kind of rules like that?
Well, the big quote, I say tools, not rules, but if okay. there were going to be rules, the number one is yes and. So that means that you're always saying yes or accepting something, and then the and is building upon it.
Okay.
But if you want to break that down even farther, it's yes, comma, and ellipses, which is accept it, pause and think about it, build upon it, and then see what happens.
Right.
Be ready for that unexpected part. But typically a scene ends when someone else feels like it needs to end.
Okay.
So either it feels uncomfortable or it feels like, ooh, I have a great idea on who these people might be connected to in the world, and I'm going to go be that person.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Can you kind of talk about the student showcase and like what they've been
yep.
what they've been working on these last few weeks?
This time, because a lot of the people have been working with me before, have some experience in improv now, and then some newer people, we started with some of the basics, but we kind of hopped in immediately to working on this new form, doing something they've never done before. And so, just like in class, the first half, we'll do those games, those shorter form games that are just fun, and like you rhyme and you clap and you do silly things with your body.
Right.
And then we do that set of the sleepover, which is the longer form. And those are things that we will have buckets in the lobby where people will write down suggestions. And so some of those things will be pulled from the bucket, but then other times we'll just ask the audience, like, hey, can you tell me your favorite pattern of a shirt or whatever? And then we go.
Yeah.
Talking to Jill Bradford, the improv showcase, 7:30 tomorrow night at Prairie Players. How did you get interested in this?
When I started doing theater when I was 10, improv is, the games are always kind of something you warm up with before you start rehearsing scripted work. And then when I moved, I did some more in college, but it was like the intramural version, if
yeah.
you will. And then when I was in Denver, I actually auditioned for a play that I did not get cast in. And I was like, well, let's just try some improv. And then I was kind of hooked. And I actually just had a conversation with my mother this past week about how they took my brother and I to Second City, like when we were in junior high and high school. So that I'd always been exposed to it and had always been intrigued in it. And like Second City came to the Orpheum in the 90s. And I still remember vividly scenes that they did that made me go, ooh, this is fun. Yeah. And like ninjas going across the stage and playing a Journey song. Like there's just all kinds of things like that. And it always piqued my interest and I had always seen improv, but I had never really studied it. And so I just started that and then went from there.
What's it take to be good at it? And are people just naturals? Can people learn it?
Both.
Okay.
You're really not an improviser. I think just like anything, until you fail at something, you can't learn from your mistakes. You can't build and become better until you actually try it. And interestingly enough, I was not good at character study when I was doing improv, which I went in blazing thinking that this will be easy because I've been doing this for, you know, since I was 10 years old. No. Because I was so ingrained in knowing what was coming next that I had a harder time leaning into it. So I think that you can have some skills and you can have some natural talent. I have a woman in my class this time. She has never been on stage ever. She is in her mid-50s. She just showed up and she is fantastic. Like, so good. And she inspires everyone else in class because she's always so happy and always ready to do the next thing and not being afraid to look silly. Because if you are thinking about what you look like, then you're not present in the room.
Yeah, I can see that. Are there people that are famous at improv and people maybe you look up to that we would know?
Amy Poehler is one of them, okay. Big time. Tina Fey. A lot of people that came to SNL came out of improv. Like Stephen Colbert and
all
Steve
the Second
Carell.
City people that...
Yep.
Yeah.
Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert were both in a group together at Second City. And then they went on to do those things. almost everyone from 30 Rock, Aziz Ansari from Parks and Rec, all the, like, Jim Belushi, Phil Hartman, a lot of people that have gone, like Chris Farley, all of those people went through. Catherine O'Hara, who just passed away, she was one of the greats. Gilda Radner, like, they all started something. There are, the Groundlings is in L.A., Second City, obviously, in Chicago, and then UCB in New York. Those are, like, the three main ones that have notoriety.
Besides the maybe the joy of performing, can you, does this help you in life? Can this help you?
Oh, absolutely. I think it translates so much because, I mean, at the core, we are observing human nature and then reflecting it back. That listening, knowing how to pivot, listening to other people's ideas, and actually being open to the shift and change in that, and then just confidence, public speaking, all of that is helped by just jumping on stage. And being under the lights, you would be amazed at how much just turning on those lights makes people feel differently.
How important is the audience?
Super important. Just like live music, I feel like those are the two only art forms where this will only happen once. The people that are in this room will share an experience and a feeling that will never happen again. Like, you can try to explain an improv set just like you're trying to explain a live music show. You can tell them what it was like, but they don't feel it if they're not in the room.
Well, if you feel like your next improv show goes anything similar to the one tomorrow night, does it feel like a failure?
No, because I feel like those are the things that will make you look back, think about what you did, and know that you don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you hear, I got family members. They've seen Dave Matthews Band play 75
right.
times.
Yes.
I'm like, how can you see Dave Matthews so many times? Well, it's a different show every time. Well, I'm not a fan, but they are.
Right.
And I mean, I like improv. I could watch every episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway. No, none of them are going to be the same. You
yes.
know? So I think about, you know, as, you know, you're on stage and you do improv and then you go to the next show and then you accidentally pull something from that you've done before, kind of like, it should have been something new every time. I mean,
I think it's inevitable that you will pull something that you've done before, but also it helps you hone it and do it better. And you are probably going to do it slightly different in some way.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and there's a lot of bad improv. Like, I feel like out of 10 improv shows, like for the random person off the street, probably 8 of those you're going to think are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You spent a couple decades in Denver.
Yes.
And then you came back.
Correct.
How was the improv scene here in Galesburg?
I mean, it was non-existent when I got here, and it was very interesting. Neil Manila, who owned Fat Fish, we lived in the same apartment building, and I was outside one day with my dog, and he just came over and was like, "Hey, Jill, I heard you did this." And he had the stage, and he said, "Every Wednesday I don't have music, so if you ever want to do anything, feel free." And so I just tried it out as like a one-off, like doing a drop-in class where people just show up the day of. And it turned out to be something that then I ended up doing every week. And that was pre-pandemic. And so when it opened back up, that's when it changed a little bit. And I just did random like corporate trainings or people who would ask me to do a class like for a birthday party or someone who had done a class with me before. And then Prairie Players approached me about doing something with them. And that's when this started.
So you have the performance coming up tomorrow night.
Correct.
How often do you have performances?
Typically twice a year.
Okay.
So usually we call them the dark periods at Prairie Players. Like during, there's 4 main stage shows. And so during those times when there aren't rehearsals going on for that, sometimes they overlap a little bit. But we try to do at least 2 weeks between things like that.
How does Prairie Players Theater, how does that work out for improv?
Pretty well. It is interesting because the audience is a little bit the same and a little bit different as well. We have some people who are tried and true that just show up. And I love it when there are people like there are, is this woman from my mother's church, and I love her so much. You would never think in meeting her that she would want to see improv. And last time we had a 6-year-old girl in the audience. And when she walked in with her parents, I looked at them and I'm like, just so you know, I like to give like a PG-13 rating. And they were like, she's fine. And she was the first audience member to volunteer and get up on stage with us. So it's different every time. And I really appreciate it because when I came here again, I thought there's no way that I'm going to get to do improv at all. And then it turned out that they have really embraced it, so that's fantastic.
No, well, we are running low on time. Once again, tomorrow night, 7:30?
7:30, the doors are open at 6:30, the bar will be open as well.
Admission, just $5?
Just $5.
And as far as the crowd tomorrow, once again, is it 18 plus, 21 plus, or is
anyone can everybody? Come. I just like to let you know that there is no censorship for what might be said on stage.
Right. So there you go. Well, anything else that people need to know, Jill?
We would just love to see your face. So if you're into something fun, a little bit kooky, off the beaten path, come join us tomorrow night at 7:30 at Prairie Players.
There you go. Well, that's.
How about if somebody's interested? How do they?
Yeah.
Oh, through the Prairie Players website, or also I call myself Thank You Five Stories or TY Five Stories. So you can find me on social media there as well.
Okay.